Love-inspired suspense and Harper Audio present Searching for Evidence by Carol J. Post. Performed by Emma Lisi. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. Thanks to my sister, Kimberly Coker, for all the plodding help and for keeping this directionally challenged author from getting hopelessly lost during research trips. You're the best sis ever. Thank you to my editor, Katie Gowry, and my critique partners, Karen Fleming and Sabrina Jarema, for making my stories the best they can be. And thank you to my husband, Chris, for your unending love, encouragement, and support. You're the inspiration for every hero I write. 1. Dead. Drowned. No sign of foul play. Cassandra Ashbaugh stared at the back of her father's Cabo 40 Express Sport Fisher bobbing in its slip, Ashbaugh Charters painted across its transom. Of everyone who'd ever been claimed by the deep, her father was the least likely to be taken that way. He'd been around boats all his life, the past 15 years as a professional charter captain. He'd been a strong swimmer, too, had even won several medals during his time on his high school swim team. But 2 days ago, his boat had been found drifting 40 miles offshore, the dinghy still secured and not a soul on board. The throttle was set on low, the gas tanks empty. Fortunately, he hadn't taken any charter customers with him. Cassie looked past the Cabo at the boat in the next slip. It was also an Ashbaugh vessel, one she'd spent more time on. In recent months, her impossible-to-please father had come to a grudging acceptance of her. But if they'd had to spend the day cooped up on a boat together, one of them might not have come back. Instead, Cassie got her boating fix twice a week by leaving one of her hairdressers in charge of Cassie's cuts for a few hours and acting as first mate to their other captain, Buck. He was more of a father figure for her than her own father. Of course, Buck was usually sober. She stepped onto the boat and inhaled deeply, drawing in the scent of salt, fish, and fresh air. The sun was trying to make an appearance, its top edge barely visible on the horizon. Streaks of orange, pink, and lavender stretched outward in both directions, the upper edge fading into semi-darkness. Yesterday, her twin, Christina, had met the Coast Guard people and completed the necessary paperwork to claim the boat. Cassie's task today was to ready it for Thursday's charter. Between now and then, John, their mechanic, would perform a check of all the systems. A breeze swept the ends of her ponytail into her face and pressed her lightweight jacket against her back. A shiver shook her shoulders. The April morning air held a little nip, not unusual for the Florida panhandle. She raised a hand to greet a boater returning from the Gulf. Seagulls circled him, competing for the baitfish and scraps he tossed overboard. He lifted his arm in a return greeting. So far, they were the only two out and about. She stepped up into the pilot house and frowned. Ahead of her, the door going into the cabin area was open. Her father had always kept it closed and locked. Chris apparently hadn't bothered, or she'd forgotten. Probably the latter. When their father hadn't returned from his solo outing, Chris had taken it hard. 3 days later, the Coast Guard had called off the search. And since then, Chris had alternated between anger and inconsolable grief. All her life, she'd been his favorite, and they'd shared a special bond. Considering Chris's state of mind, Cassie would have met with the Coast Guard folks herself if she hadn't had back-to-back appointments at her salon. Not that his death had been easy on her. It hadn't, for different reasons. She descended the four steps and
sample complete. Ready to continue?